If y'all are in 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to read a few verses with you. We're going to begin in verse number 8 at the paragraph mark there. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was, look at this, a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick." Man, that sounds nice study right there. "And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care, what he is to be done for thee. Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life." Let's pray. Father, we need you, Lord. We can't do anything without you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to your people today. Use your words and your servant, Lord. Lord, I know that I can't do anything. I'm just a man. Lord, I don't know what the hearts need. Lord, I pray that you would minister to hearts this morning, Lord, as only you are able. And Lord, I pray that this word will be a help, Lord, to somebody. Lord, convict those that need conviction and comfort those that need comforting, dear Lord. And I pray, Lord, you would do a work in the lives and the hearts today. We give you glory, honor, and praise for it, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak to you on the subject, a great woman. A great woman. I got to looking in my Bible and I found several things in the Bible about women. I found that over in Matthew 15, there was one woman, and the Lord said, "Is it meet to take the children's bread and give it to swine or give it to dogs?" And she said, "Truth, Lord." She's saying, "Yeah, I'm a dog, but dogs eat from the master's table." And he said this. He said, "O woman, great is thy faith." So that woman had great faith, but she wasn't called a great woman. She had great faith. The woman over in Proverbs 31:10, the book of Proverbs said, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Which is a good question. Look, it's always, we think, well, it's just really bad now. It was that bad. It was that way then. It's hard to find a good woman then. Hard to find a good woman now. It said, "For her price is far above rubies." Then I got to thinking about Ruth. Ruth had a whole book named after her. Esther was a good woman. You got Lois and Eunice over in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. I read about Timothy's grandmother and mother, and I heard one man said her name is Eunice. And I said, "Greek's a dead language. I'll pronounce it how I want to." So I call her Eunice. And so anyway, I like Eunice. I think that's hilarious. But y'all, the Bible's got all kinds of things about women in there. And so women are obviously very, very important. I want to remind you also that Eve was taken from Adam's side. That was to help meet. That's from his side. Why? He can protect her. Not to be stomped on and made out like he's better than and things like that. A man's supposed to protect the woman. Why? She's worth protecting. All right, so women are very important, but I want you to know that as far as from what I could see, this is the only place in the Bible where a woman was called a great woman. Only place. Just this one woman right here. So you know what? That interested me. I said, well, I want to study some of these qualities here. I got to studying this. I've got 2 pages of notes, man, just the stuff. And I did not realize how much was there. I want you to know that this woman right here needs to be studied by women. Why? She was a great woman. She was a great woman for a reason. And we need great women. Now, here's the thing. People, you know, the devil will roll in the flesh and make you think that, well, that's just a biblical woman. You can't be like that. I want you to know these are simple qualities here. And you know what? You can have them too. You can be a great woman. And the thing is, it's not these things here will work for everybody. We preach in here just because it's a woman and on Mother's Day. But I have you to know that men need these qualities too. We need them together. Why? We're supposed to work together. And I'll tell you something. This woman right here was a great woman. And she had some great qualities that we all need. And I tell you, I wish that more women had these things here. I tell you something. I feel sorry for the women because there's a lack of good men. I feel sorry for the men because there's a lack of good women out there. Well, I tell you something. It needs to be some godly women to choose from. Man, I pray for my children. These children that are coming up, man. Lord help them. Man, it's like this one man, he got married. And they asked him, they said, how you liking marriage? He said, I believe I married an angel. They said, you married an angel? He said, yeah, she's always up in the air and harping on something. I guarantee you. Hey, I tell you, you have to be real careful. You have to be real careful. It's like that. It's like that one, this woman, she fell in love with this man and she said, Mama, I love him, but he don't even believe in hell. She said, marry him, we'll show him. We'll show him. You know what it is? They need some godly qualities. Y'all, man, I'll tell you something. I want you to know that marriage, a lot of people make out like, well, you know, I got to go home. Man, I thank God for marriage. I want y'all to know, man, I thank God I'm married. It don't have to be like the way the world makes it out to be. It can be a joy and a blessing. I tell you something, you marry your friend, your best friend other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's wonderful. Now, I tell you something, having these qualities right here is going to be a blessing. Why? We need to be somebody who's a good mate. And I tell you, somebody good to work with, these things right here will not only help you there, but it'll help you being somebody good to work with in the church and things like that. It's good qualities. Number one, I want you to see here, she was a woman of provision. A woman of provision. Now you'll see that in verses 8 and 10. Number one, she had hospitality. Verse number 8, here it is, that she's called a great woman and she's constraining him to eat bread. And every time he come by, she's always trying to feed him. You ever go to some of these people's houses? Man, you better not go full. Man, you want a glass of water? Well, I'm not really thirsty. I'll get you a glass. Well, let me go ahead and get you a glass of water right quick. Well, thank you. Well, you want some pie? I got some pie over here. Oh, man. And man, you know, they mean well, but what it is, they just want to see you. Well, it's eating has something to do with fellowship. That's all that is. I was thinking, what's going on here? Now I've realized they just want to have fellowship with you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But she's always trying to feed him. She had hospitality. I saw this quote here. Arnold Glasgow, our Glasso, or I can't pronounce the last name, but he said, some folks make you feel at home, others make you wish you were. that's about how it is. You ever been to somebody's house, you're like, I can't wait to leave this place, man. Man, I can't wait to get out of here. Why? It's just turmoil. Y'all, a home ought to be a happy place. And I know you got times where things happen. And man, home's a place of many different emotions. But for the most part, home ought to be a refuge. Yes. It ought to be a place there where other people feel safe. Why? And mothers can do that. Mothers are capable of something about a mother that's just, they're capable of making things just seem well. I'll tell you something. She had hospitality, and that thing is important. That's one of her qualities. Now, to get through all these, I'm about to hurry. You just have to write them down. Another thing, she had a godly home. She had a godly home. Why? This man of God was able to make himself home. Look at verse number 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Well, she's going to make a little chamber for this man of God. Well, look, if he wasn't a godly home, he wouldn't have stayed there. He was a man of God, and he wouldn't have wanted to stay there. She had to have good characteristics and good qualities and good character. So, I'll tell you something. She had a godly home. We can't control other people's homes. But I got a verse for you. Joshua 24, verse 15. He said, but as for me and my house, I don't know what y'all going to do with y'all's house. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what? You got to get to the place to where you'll serve the Lord no matter what everybody else is doing at their house.
Right.
Well, you know, over at our house, this way we do. And this is what we watch. This is what we listen to. At your house, you do what you want to. Your house. This is my house. I do what I want to. My house. You don't like my house, go back to your house. That's the way it ought to be. Why? Because look here. Well, some people try to make out like that your house is supposed to be just like their house. Joshua said, look, whatever y'all do, that's up to you and God. I'm not here. You know, a lot of these preachers, I just feel so sorry for them. You know what so-and-so does over here? That's none of my business. Right. It's none of my business what you got on your TV, what you got on your radio, what you got in your refrigerator. That's between you and God. I can preach the Bible to you and tell you what the Bible says, but it's not up to me to run your life. That's between you and God.
Amen.
And you know what? The quicker we get that thought across, the better it's going to be on our heart. Why? You start kind of trying to control what everybody else does and what everybody else is trying to watch and what everybody else is trying to do. It'll give you heartaches that you don't even belong to you.
That's exactly right.
I tell you, Justin said, me and my house, this lady right here had a house that was godly enough for that man to feel comfortable enough to make a chamber there and stay there and study the Word. That means she didn't have old devil music on in there. How come? Because he was able to study. I'll tell you something. I went by a house the other day, and I got this little thing Carla got for me, and I got my Bible, and I can, on my walking parts, I can listen to my Bible and stuff. I listened to my Bible, and I was going through the book of Proverbs. I was about in chapter 4, and over there, I was, man, what a blessing. And I heard, bum, 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 bum. I said, what is that? Sounded like somebody was hitting a hammer on something. I said, what is that devil sound? Took out my Bible and I heard that. I said, how are they even concentrating in there? That's kind of scary. Like when you're on the outside of a house and you listen to that stuff on. And I tell you something, I don't know what was going on. Whatever it was didn't sound good. Well, there needs to be some godly homes. No, what? Look, you can't control the other fella, but you pay the bills. You can control what goes on in your house.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something. Somebody, you come over my house and they say, look here, I don't want you doing that, this, that, and other. Why, you can go get your own home, pay your bills at your home.
That's right.
Why? If that don't happen, I'll tell you something, it's going to create heartaches. Why? Because you're going to go to work and you say, man, all that's going on at my house. And I'll tell you something, and you're going to be thinking about that thing, knowing that you can control it. And I'll tell you something, people are going to get away with whatever they can get away with.
Yes, it will.
And I'll tell you something, there's got to be a line drawn in the sand somewhere. Say, you don't cross this line right here. I'm the man of this house. I'm the woman of this house. And it's not going to go here.
That's right.
One man said, law don't go around here. Tell you something, it does with me. Why? What Bible says goes.
Amen.
And I tell you that what I'm trying to do is, trying to tell you this right here, it alleviates heartache. Why? This lady was allowed, this man of God came here, she had a godly home, and I tell you something, she had peace of heart. I'm going to show you later on, she had peace of heart, even through a storm. All right, so she was a woman of provision, she had hospitality, she had a godly home. Number two, she was a woman of perception. Perception. She discerned God's servant in verse number 9. She said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. She was able to tell who was working for God and who wasn't working for God. I'll tell you something, man. You ought to be able to tell who's working for God, who's trying to get in your pocketbook and who's not. When a man gets up there and he says, just sow $1,000 money seed in my ministry, you say, that man right there not working for God. I'm not giving him a dime and I don't want anybody else in my family giving him any money. Well, I'm telling you this right here, folks. She was able to discern. She had perception. Why? She was in fellowship with God. And I'll tell you something there. She supported the ministry of her day by supporting that servant of God. You know what we ought to do? Mothers and everybody. Look, others around you ought to see that you're supporting the ministry in some kind of way. All she did, she couldn't have much. She said, I'm just going to do what I can.
That's right.
It don't take a whole lot.
That's right.
Just do what you can. You know what I liked about this woman right here? God trusted her enough to send his servant down there and said, hey, if I send my servant there, that lady will take care of him, make sure he's taken care of. Now you think about that, that's a huge thing right there. Why? Considering nowadays there's a whole lot of servants that are not being taken care of. Now you wonder why a lot of folks get in secular work and stuff like that right there. Why? Because God's servants don't take care of them. That's just the truth of the matter. I had one preacher, he told me, he said, man, I got to get a secular job. Now, I got a secular job, and I'm not trying to say it's just because I do. I know, so don't take that out of it, but I'll tell you this. I said, man, why do you work all the time? I said, you know, God will take care of you. He said, I trust God, I don't trust them people. I said, man, you know what it is? A lot of folks just don't care. A lot of folks don't care, man. What I'm trying to tell you is she had perception. She discerned God's servant. And she said, I'm going to take care of that man. You know what you can do? If you can't do anything else, you can try to pray for somebody or try to support somebody in some kind of way. Some kind of way. I've told you 100 times, but one of my favorite places where that lady said, God said, she just did what she could. She just broke that box and just gave what she could. It's God's not saying you have to do as much as so-and-so. Just do what you can.
That's right.
Why? Well, I'm trying to tell you these qualities she has is something you can get and just do what you can. A lot of times this world tries to get you to think that you can, you know, you got to do these big things. Just do what you can. I'm telling you, God is seeing the little bitty thing. God's seen this thing, called her a great woman. A great woman. Man, I think this is wonderful here. Why, these are all qualities that are able to be obtained by you. That's what I love about the Bible. God puts it down where the little lambs can come get it. Not only that, she discerned God's servant. She had dedicated service. Look at verse number 9. It says, and she said, I perceive this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. This is a constant thing. He was always coming by. He knew that was a place where he could come by and get some help. And guess what? You're not going to get spiritual discernment by half-hearted service.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what, Daniel? Daniel gets over there putting the lion's den, and before he ever goes in the den, God, the king who he was serving under, wasn't even a believer. You know what he says? The king said this. After he commanded Daniel to be put in the lions, he said, and then the lion says, now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually. This man was coming by her house continually. He said, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. That king knew before Daniel ever went in the lions, then he said, I know he's going to get delivered out of there. Why? Because he knew Daniel was serving continually. You know what this lady had? She had a testimony where she had dedicated service.
Amen.
You say, well, how can I be a great woman? Just get up every day and serve God with the best you can.
That's right.
So I can't do a whole lot. God's not looking for you to do a whole lot. One lady over, I was going to preach on her some, and she's just gathering sticks. What you been doing? Just gathering sticks. Just little things here, there, and yonder. I'll tell you something, picking up sticks before you mow the grass. Some of you just mow right over the sticks. I know you do. You just mow right over them. But you know what happens? If you pick up all those sticks, the blades will last longer. See, keep your edge longer. Do the little thing, keep your edge long. You know what happens? She's just picking up sticks and God's blessing her. I'm telling y'all that if you'll do the little things that you think nobody else is seeing, God's saying, I'm seeing it, and I'm checking it, and I'm telling you right now, you get blessed for it. Here's this lady here just doing something just small, and God says, I like that. Why? Because she's dedicated. And I'll tell you something, God loves dedication. So she's a woman of perception. And I want you to see also, she wasn't prideful. Third thing, she wasn't prideful. Verse number 13. All right, jumps on down here. And he said, I'm going to do something for this lady here. What can I do for her? And he said, what is to be done for thee? What hast thou be spoken to the king or to the captain of the host? Now what happens is, he's saying, do you want me to say something to the king for you? You doing all this stuff for me? Do you want to be spoken to the captain of the host? Do you want me to say something to somebody great for you? She didn't want fame. She did not want fame. She didn't want any kind of recognition, any kind of favors. This woman's name isn't even mentioned in the text. You never know her name. She just called a great woman. That's better than a name right there. Good name is rather chosen than riches and gold. And you know what happens here? She don't even get named by name, but God calls her a great woman. I think that's such a blessing. Why? She didn't want a YouTube channel. She didn't want her 50,000 followers on Facebook. And she didn't want 60,000 on Instagram. She said, I don't need all that. I don't have to get up here and be half naked for the whole world to see. I just want to be among my own people and see my family be blessed. You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They think that they don't have a ministry if they don't get outside their family. I tell you something, your main ministry is your family.
There you go.
Just right there close by. take care of those and let God branch out. I'm telling you, those ones right around you are precious.
Yes, they are.
Just precious right there close to you. Man, take care of them. Pray for them. Think about this. How often have you prayed for the ones just right around you? Man, they need it, man. We all need it. I need it. We all do.
Amen.
Well, I tell you something. Anybody, myself, first off, or anybody, you get a month out of church, and you get a month from Bible reading, you get a month from prayer, and you can do anything anybody else would do. You say, well, yeah, but a saved person, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why, this flesh will take over you.
Yes, it will.
It'll take over just like weeds. If you don't get out there in the garden, why we're compared to like a garden over in the Bible in Song of Solomon, if you don't take those weeds out of there, they'll grow up and they'll choke out the flowers.
Amen.
That's how it is with your life. If you don't constantly, you know, the Bible says all flesh is grass. Just don't mow your grass about 12 days, 13 days, 14 days. For long, it's just all over the place. You know what? Your flesh has to be cut back daily with that Word of God.
Amen.
Why? It's a sword, and you have to cut it back daily, daily, daily. Why? If not, it'll just take over. Just take over. She didn't want any kind of fame or anything. She just said, hey, I want you to help me in a way that has to do with just me and my family, just in a small way right here. She was not prideful, and she didn't want fame. And she didn't have a name. You know what? She had a name with God, not the world. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. Does anybody in here know Simon Peter's wife's name? Simon Peter was married. He was not the first pope. Does anybody in here know her name? No, you don't know her name. Let me ask you this. What about, have y'all ever heard of a great preacher called Charles Spurgeon? You ever heard that name? He was a great preacher yesteryear, so to speak. Does anybody know his wife's name? Has anybody ever heard of John Wesley? I got his journal at the house. You ever heard, you know his wife's name? You don't know his wife's name. What about, you think about any other preacher you can think of? And great, D.L. Moody. You ever heard of him? I got a lot of his sermons at the house. Great, great preacher. You don't know his wife's name? But I tell you something. You get to reading some of his stuff, and he praises his wife, and he praises the Lord for his wife. Why? He couldn't get done what he got done without his wife. A mother. You know what? Those women aren't named, but God knows their name. You know what? I'm going to tell you this, and one of these days I may have to answer for this. But you're going to be at the judgment, and you're going to think these great big old preachers are going to be named first. But you know what the Bible says? The last to be first. The last will. You know what's going to happen? A lot of these mothers who tried, and they tried with those kids, and they tried their best with those kids, and they prayed for those children and stuff like that. And man, you talking about trouble. All of us are giving our parents trouble. Lord, help us. But I tell you this right here. God's going to say, it's not the preacher. He's going to call up this mother up here and this other mother over here, and he's going to say, I want to reward you right here in front of everybody.
Amen.
There's going to be a whole lot of mothers who on this earth are insignificant in the eyes of this world.
That's right.
But I want you to know God sees every bit of that stuff, and God sees what you went through. God sees that heartache. God sees those thoughts. God sees those days that you go through, days of worry, days of trying, days of just going through not knowing. And God says, I see every bit of that, and I'm going to reward you in front of everybody. The last to be first. I'm going to tell you something. Why, this mother right here, she was a godly mother. We called her a great woman. Why? Just doing little things. Just,
right,
I'm telling y'all, we've got it so wrong. This world has got it to the place where they think, well, that man over there, he's doing something. And this man over here. Why? Most men are like me. We get a lot of things done because we got a lot of help.
Amen.
We got a lot of help. I got a lot of help sitting right there. And I tell you something, I'm able to memorize Bible verses because I'm able to do a lot of things because, and I know a lot of y'all think, well, who sees all this stuff? I tell you something, God sees what you're doing.
That's right.
God sees all that going around that you're doing that you just wonder, I just wonder if I'm getting anything done. And God sees your heart and God knows you're trying and God is going to help you. And you say, well, what about on the other side, a lot of it. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't you ever think what you're doing is going unnoticed by God. God sees everything you do, and God sees every tear. And the Bible said in Revelation, He takes those tears and He puts them in a bottle.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something, He keeps every one of them. Don't you think that you shed a tear God don't know about? I'll tell you something, I've got a God. I've got a God that's able to wipe away all those tears one of these days. And with all that sorrow and all those things you went through, He's able to replace that with joy. Why? I'll tell you something, man. You'll go weeping today and you'll go joyful tomorrow. What? Tomorrow, He calls it tomorrow, whenever He comes back. Today is weeping, tomorrow is joy. Man, that blesses me. Well, I'll tell you something. Thank God that he sees all that stuff. She had that. She didn't want fame. You know what she wanted? Fruit. Fruit. I'm going to read a verse to you. Psalms 127 verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." You know what? She wanted some fruit. She wanted a child. For us today, we're supposed to desire fruit of the Spirit. You know what we're supposed to want? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance manifest in our life, and it's called fruit of the Spirit. Why? You won't get it without the Spirit. And you know what? This woman right here had that. She wasn't prideful, and you'll never get that fruit with if you got pride in your life. Man, these are things that you can have. Now, oh man, y'all got to really listen now. She was a good woman with problems. She was a good woman with problems. She gets this blessing here, and he said, "All right, I'm gonna give you. You just wait on it now. Next year, you're gonna have a child." She gets the child. Guess what happens? Verse number 19. It says, "And he said unto his father," he comes out in the field to help his daddy, "and said unto his father," in verse 19, "my head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." I'll tell you something, man, that's a blessing right there, verse 20. "And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died." You know what happens? Great blessings often bring great trials. Great trial. This woman right here serving God, she's taking care of the man of God. You see all these blessings she had, but she still had problems. She still had a trial. You know what the devil's going to tell you? You're trying, here you are, you're going to church, you're reading your Bible, and you're doing all these things. Now, why? That happened then.
You try it, bro.
Now, didn't you know that's the devil doing that stuff?
You try it.
This woman right here serving God, and she's going through a trial. The devil tells you, "I know why, because you did so and so. You remember whenever you was a kid and you did that? That's coming back through." No, God don't whip your children for something you did.
Right.
Every man I answer for his own things. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We all got free will and we all got our own choice. And you can't make others choose. Otherwise, well, you'll make a rebel trying to choose for them. Let them come to God their own way. People say they're going to hit rock bottom. Okay, Christ is the rock. They hit bottom and maybe they'll find Christ. But the thing is, this godly woman, she's serving God, and I want you to know she still had a trial. Y'all, you may be serving God this morning, and the devil's telling you it's something you did in the past, and so, well, you're saved, it's washed in the blood.
Amen.
Don't let the devil tell you that's why it's happening. Man, I tell you something, that's one thing about the devil. I can't wait till we get to see him chained in Revelation 20 and bound for 1,000 years, and then come up. He's going to come up to the end of that thing, and God, the Lord Jesus is going to just knock him out with fire and put him in hell forever. Why? I'll tell you something, man. He'll get in your head and mess with you.
Yes, he will.
And he's a liar. Amen, sister. And you know what? He tries to lie to you, and he'll tell you that. Don't you know she had things coming to her mind that said, "I know why this is happening now." I'll tell you something. Thank God she didn't give in to it. Yeah. I want you to know, there's number one, she's a great woman with great trials. Number two, there's nothing like mama's treatment. In verse number 19, that little boy's in trouble. And the daddy said, he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." Now, I'll tell you something. I'm not going to give y'all any stories because my mama's here this morning, but I can tell you something. I don't know what it is about mama, but whenever you get hurt, you come to mama, don't you? Every one of y'all know you come to, you know what happened? I know I'm a daddy. I know. Oh, boy, get out there and play. You ain't hurt. I've had worse places than that on my pinky toe. Get out. And the mother comes in, and the mother says, "Okay, let me take care of you now." You know what he said? Get him to his mama.
That's right.
That's a blessing of being a mom. You know what? Your little one, what do they do? They come to you. They come to you.
Right.
Why? It's something about that mother's love. God's made. There's Amen. A difference there. And he comes to you. That's why he don't come to daddy a lot of times. That's why the child don't come. Why? They come to you. And they're looking to you. And they know that wisdom. I tell you what, she had wisdom to handle things the right way. You know what? A lot of times you wonder, why did I make so-and-so choice when this happened? Why? Because God has put it in you. That motherly wisdom is there to know how to handle that situation. That's it's right. A blessing. Why? God does that for you. So, there's nothing like a mother's treatment. Also, trials, you're going to see also, trials can create a great temperament.
Right.
I won't be able to go over all these, but look at verse 23. Jump down here, and she goes, she said, "I'm fishing to go and get some help here." But watch this. In verse 23, and he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today?" She's going to go down to Elisha and get some help. "It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." That's her attitude. Look at verse 26. She gets down there in verse 26. He said, Elisha said, "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." You know what? "It is well. It is well." We say, "With my soul, with my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul." Why? She had gotten to the place in her life where she said, either way, I'm gonna tell you something, I believe she would have been fine with God either way. She said, "I'm gonna do what I can do." Place it in the Lord's hands.
Amen.
You say, "What do I do in this situation? How do I get help in this? I don't know what to do." You do what you can do and give it to God.
Amen. That's right.
That's all you do. Why? You've done all you can do. Let God. You do the thing humans can do, and then you leave the rest up with God with the impossible.
Amen.
You do the possible thing. Let God do the impossible. Now, I'll tell you something. That's like a lot of people say, "Well, God feeds the birds." Yeah, but He don't throw the worms in their nest. You've got to do your part as far as you go out and you just serve God each day the best way you can serve Him and give everything
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something, there's a lot of blessing. That's what she's doing. She's just doing her part. And guess what? God does the impossible. Now, she had a great temperament. She said, "Hey, it's well, it's good," even though it wasn't good. You know what happens? God gives you a good attitude in bad situations. Gives you a good temperament. Now, here we get into the last thing here. Also, she was a woman of persistence. I love this. Verse number 24, I want you to see this real close. Then she, not her husband too, while she had married an older man. Said he was an old man. So she must have been way younger than him. It said, she sat on an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward." She did the work. I want you to know she did not give in to the depression. You know what? She had to go out alone. I want you to know sometimes as mothers, you're going to have to go out alone and do things alone. I'll tell you something, women do a whole lot of things alone.
That's right.
I'll tell you something, that alone work is stuff that does not get enough credit. Why? You leave me alone with the kids, man, they'll starve to death. They hadn't find apples and oranges and everything, and Carla will cook all kind of just an elaborate meal and everything. But hey, like, "What are we gonna eat, Daddy? I got some yogurt in there, man. Just go in there and make yourself at home." What happens, y'all? Women do a lot of things alone.
That's right.
And you know what? We as men could learn from that.
Yeah.
Why? Amen. We always feel like we always have to have help on. You're going to have to do a lot of things alone. A whole lot of things. But she didn't give in to depression. Why? Depression makes you feel lonely. And I'm the only one. Watch out, Elijah. He said, You think you know what depression does? I know enough about it to know this right here. It will make you have the thought that you're the only one going through what you're going through.
That's right.
And Christ said, "No, you hadn't." He said, I've suffered like things. He said, "In tempting like manner." Why? So He's able to help you. Bible said Jesus wept. Bible said He was a man of sorrows. He's went through everything you've went through and more. You know what gets me about depression? If you don't watch it, depression will make you selfish. Why? Because depression puts the focus on you, me. And you get to saying, "I've got all this stuff going on." And Christ said, "Hold on just a minute now. I've went through more than you have. You need to cast that on me." Because you know what happens? Depression will make you think Christ can't handle what you're going through. And God can handle everything you're going through and more. Why? He was able to handle all of it.
Right.
All of it. Now, I'll tell you something. God will help you. Christ, if you ever get to the place where you think nobody can help me, I'm going to tell you this right here. That's the devil making you think that.
Right.
Why? Because I want you to know, everybody in here, the Lord Jesus Christ can help you anytime, any place, if you'll just avail yourself to the help.
That's right.
It's my fault and our fault that we don't get the help we need. Why? Because we say nobody else can understand. She went alone and she didn't give in to the depression. Number two, she was willing to go the distance.
Yes.
I want you to see there in verse 24. She saddled that ass and she drove and she said, "Slack not thy riding for me except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. Now if you'll compare that where she started off, that's about a 5 or a 6 hour ride. No, look here, they didn't have the suspensions we have today. I guarantee you that thing, that the carriage was bumping and I mean going all over the place, and that guy had the hammer down. And she said, "Don't you slack up unless I tell you to." She didn't stop at any time. She went all the way. I tell you something, that takes persistence right there. You know what it's going to take?
Right.
In our work for the Lord, it's going to take persistence.
That's right.
Keep going. Okay, I had a hard day. Get right back up the next day and go again. All right, well, I've got this trying to knock me down. Okay, get right back up and go again. Well, I got this depression thought right here. Yeah, but keep going again, because if you stop, that's what's going to get you.
Amen.
You stop water flowing anything. If you got a bucket, as long as you keep water flowing in that bucket, it'll keep that water clear and clean. But if you stop the flow of the water in that bucket, you're going to have all kind of junk in that bucket. That's how it is with your life. Why? He said, it'll be rivers of living water. Rivers of living water flowing in you. That's what the Holy Spirit's like. It's active. It keeps flowing. Why? To keep things filtered out. The sand in the bottom of that creek just filters out the bad stuff.
Right.
As long as you keep going and you stay persistent, you'll be all right. But it's when you stop. The devil said, "Okay, I got you now. Don't you stop. Why? Because if you stop, that's going to be what gets you. These qualities this woman had, and here's the last thing in closing. Oh man, I did good. I want you to know the last thing's the best thing. Out of all of these things that she had, I'm talking about some great qualities here, I think, that we can all use. She was a woman of faith. You say, how do I know? If you read Hebrews chapter 11, it's giving you the Faith Hall of Fame, telling you how these Old Testament people operated. You know what it says? It just real quick goes by in Hebrews 11:35, just right quick. It says, women received their dead raised to life again. You know what that tells me?
Amen.
She was a woman of faith, and the Bible said without faith you can't please God. So you said, what's the best quality she had? She lived every day trying to please God.
Amen.
How do you know? Because we just read it in the story continually. We just read that story of her life. That is recorded there to show you how she was. Now you say, how do you know? How do you know that's how she was? She didn't have time to prepare for this. You know what? She had been living every day of her life close to the Lord. So when the tragedy struck, she was ready and she knew where to go and what to do. You know why it's so important for you to live your life by faith and serve God by faith? You're not going to be able to prepare whenever the tragedy strikes.
That's right.
You got to know where to turn to when it happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And every one of you, I want you to know this. If you don't remember anything else I say, turn to Jesus when it happens.
Yes.
You say, well, so-and-so may have the answer. I go to the psychologist down here, this, that, and that. Yeah, but you better turn to Jesus before you do any of that. Before you do anything, you better take it to God in prayer and live by faith. Why? It pleases God to live by faith.
That's right.
And then guess what? She gets the boy raised up at the end. You know what? There's a lot of things that we won't see right now. But you know what? At the end, we're going to see it, aren't we? A lot of things we can't see how it's going to turn out here on this side, but I know this right here. Every one of you are saved. If you're saved this morning, you're going to live to see a brighter day.
Amen.
And if you're not saved, you can get saved today.
Amen.
You say, how easy? It's just like drinking water.
Amen.
You say, how easy? It's just like eating bread. Christ said, I'm the water. He said, I'm bread. You know what? It's just as easy as going the right way. He said, I'm the way. You know what? Man makes it hard.
That's right.
If you'll come to Him the way He said come to Him, He'll take you in.
Amen.
So today in conclusion, have you been fellowshipping with the Lord? Have you been trying to walk with God in a pleasing way by faith? Have you been doing the little things? Have you been staying persistent? Have you been taking care of the ministry God's placed you in and the people God's placed you around? Those are things to think about there. Why? It's all attainable. And I thank God for it. I thank God for these simple things.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need You now. We can't do anything without You. Lord,